In John chapter number 16, the Lord Jesus is giving his disciples some last instructions before he departs and leaves this world in a physical body. And in John chapter 16, in beginning in verse number 7, we'll read that together in just a minute. But I'm going to preach on the subject this morning, mistreating the most important person in the church. Mistreating the most important person in the church. John chapter 16, if you found your place, please, and if you could stand with me, please do so. If it's hard to get up and down, understand that. But John 16, and beginning in verse number 7 this morning, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we need your help and power. Lord, we crave the Holy Ghost of God to come in mighty power this morning. Lord, we cannot preach without him. Lord, we cannot do anything without the moving of God. I pray as we open our Word of God this morning, as we open the Bible, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would open our hearts. Heavenly Father, I pray for the next few minutes we'd put aside everything else that we plan to do today, all the activities, all the festivities, Lord, all the things that would distract our attention. I pray, God, you bind every evil force, every demonic power of hell that would come up against us this morning. And God, we plant our feet upon his neck. We are victors in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that this morning. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done. We pray that you'd continue to bless, have your will and way in Jesus' name. And for his sake we pray, amen, amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. Jesus is telling his disciples here that he was going away. In John chapter 14, he'd already told them that he was headed back to his Father's house, and that in his Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. In John chapter 16, the Lord Jesus continues to tell his disciples of his departure. But he said in verse number 7, he said that if I go away, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another. And you'll notice there in the Word of God, when the Bible refers to another, he's speaking of a comforter in verse 7 with a capital C. He's speaking of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, beloved, when a person gets saved, the Holy Ghost of God comes and abides inside of him. If you believe that, say amen with me this morning. Amen. I believe, my friend, that if you're saved, you have the Holy Ghost of God living within inside of you. He goes where you go. He hears what you hear. He watches what you watch. He will never, ever depart from you. He's with you always. However, we can mistreat him. We can quench him. He can be insulted. He can be lied to. He can be grieved. He is a real person. Just like if you're sitting beside of an individual this morning, I believe, beloved, the Holy Ghost of God is as much of a real person as that flesh and blood that's sitting beside of you this morning. Here the Bible tells us in John chapter number 16 about the Holy Ghost of God. Don't let that phrase scare you. Oh, listen, a lot of Baptists today, they don't like to talk about the Holy Ghost of God. But beloved, may I say to you in the very beginning, without the Holy Ghost of God, we might as well close our Bibles and pad and pack up and go home today, because beloved, without the Holy Ghost of God, nothing of eternal importance will ever happen in our services. It'll never happen, my friend, by the works of the flesh. It'll never happen by trying to plan it out and trying to do a program. It only come through the workings of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm glad this morning for the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I'm glad, beloved. You say, "Preacher, what about the Holy Spirit of God?" I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Number one, because because of what he's already done for me. You see, beloved, it was the Holy Ghost of God that convicted me. As a young boy, it was the Holy Spirit of God that brought the conviction unto my heart. And if you're saved this morning, you'll remember that time that the Holy Spirit of God convicted you. He showed you the need of a Savior. He showed you that you was lost without God. He showed you you're on your way to a devil's hell. But thank God that he convicted me of my sin. I don't want to grieve him because of what he's already done. Second of all, I don't want to grieve him because he has converted me. Thank God it is by the Holy Ghost of God that we are born into the family of God. It's not through water baptism. It's not through church membership. It's not through signing a pledge card. But thank God he birthed me into the family of God. I don't want to grieve him. Then third of all, I don't want to grieve him because of what he is doing for me right now. He comforts me. Oh, listen, beloved, when you face the trials of life, when you face the heartaches of life, when you face a loved one that dies, it is the Holy Ghost of God that gives you the comfort to face another day. It's the Holy Ghost of God that strengthens you to face another tomorrow. Thank God. He guides me. He directs me. He prepares the table before me. He leads me. Thank God today for the Holy Ghost of God. Say amen. Amen. Now, beloved, quickly this morning, how can we mistreat the Holy Spirit of God? I want to give you about seven things in the time we have about the Holy Spirit of God. Number one, notice if you would please. We are birthed by the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter number 3, Nicodemus came unto Jesus, and Nicodemus began to speak of a physical birth. He said unto Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born the second time? Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. I'm glad the Holy Spirit of God birthed me into the family of God. I didn't get in there because of my good works. I didn't get in there because of my good looks. Amen. I didn't get in there because I've been raised in a Baptist church. But I got in the family of God because the Holy Ghost of God birthed me into the family of God. You'll not wonder. You'll not wonder when the Spirit of God births you into the family of God. Say amen. Amen. Miss Mary over here called me last night rejoicing they got water back. But in the course of talking, she said, I'm just so glad I got saved. I'm glad that I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I'll see my husband again one of these days. Hey, listen, friend, if there's a doubt in your mind whether or not you're headed to glory or not, it's best that you get that thing settled. And when the Holy Ghost of God bursts you into the family of God, you know that you've been saved. He gives you that assurance. Amen. You see, the old devil, he'll crop up to you and he'll perch up on your shoulder and he'll say, hey, you're a good person. You've done a lot of good things. Look how much good stuff you've done for the church. Look what you've done for your family. Look what you've done for society. And friend, he'll lie to you. He'll deceive you into thinking you're saved. When the Holy Ghost of God gets a hold of you, you know whether you're saved or not. He birthed me. Number two, quickly. Not only that, but the brooding of the Spirit of God. If you got your Bibles and you want to turn there, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. The brooding of the Holy Spirit of God. When I think of that word, I think about a hen, a brooding over her eggs, over her chickens. A brooding hen. And the Holy Ghost of God is brooding. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. The Bible said this, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters. He said in chapter 1, verse number 2, that the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. My friend, this morning, what we need in our churches today, we don't need more programs. We don't need more how-tos. We don't need more seminars. We need to get back to the Holy Ghost of God moving in our services. Would you say amen? Now, I'll be honest with you. You can't live an ungodly life on Saturday night, stay up and watch Hollywood soapbox operas and watch Hollywood trash and come to the house of God and expect the Spirit of God to move. My friend, listen, we've got to be in a right relationship with God if we expect the Holy Spirit of God to move in our services. Now watch this. He broods. You say, what do you mean, preacher? The Holy Spirit of God cannot and will not move over people who are fussing and fighting and can't get along with one another. Friend, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit of God, if we want Him to work, if we want Him to be present, we've got to have a right relationship with God, and we've got to have a right relationship with man for the Spirit of God to move. Amen. The Spirit of God, He's very delicate, by the way. Listen to me. I've seen Him work before in services. That youth rally we had here a couple years ago, my friend, listen, we had 55 young people, and when they walked out here, we started singing, we started singing an old hymn. And I'll think of it in a minute. But when we started singing, it was like a wave. Those of you that were here, you know that. It was like a wave just came across. All of a sudden, while the music was going, folks started popping up, coming down this altar, popped up over here, come down, without even giving an invitation, without even giving an altar call. They got moved upon by the Spirit of God. And thank God, 15 got saved that day. Takes the Spirit of God. Takes the Holy Ghost of God. But now, what would have happened if we'd have been fussing and fighting and fuming before that? I ran to a fellow after that, and he told me, he said, preacher, I've never seen anything like that. He goes to another church. He said, I've never seen anything like that. He said, what made the difference? I said, we got together and we prayed. There was folks praying around this altar. We prayed that morning. We saturated that thing in prayer, and we begged God. We pleaded with God, and we prayed that God would just move in a mighty way. And friend, listen, God did. He heard our prayer. And friend, let me tell you though, we've got to be in a right relationship with God and with man. If there's fussing and fighting, if you've had a disagreement at home, when you come in the house of God, don't expect the Spirit of God to move on you. We got to get things right. Say amen. You know, sometimes I think we got this thing backwards. I think sometimes we need to put the altar at the door and say amen right there. We need to put the altar at the door. And the first thing we do when we come in, we ought to hit the altar and we ought to say, oh God, wash me and cleanse me and take away all the dross, take away everything that would hinder the service. You know, the first thing when they walked into the tabernacle, what was the first big piece of furniture when they walked into the gates, headed to the tabernacle? You remember what the first big thing was sitting right there, and they had to go by it before they got any further? It was a brazen altar. A place of sacrifice. Would to God, listen, we'd want to fall on that altar. We'd want to cry out to God and say, God, if there's anything in my life, if there's anything that's hindering the Spirit of God, Lord, I want to get it out. I don't want the Spirit of God to be hindered. I don't want Him to be neglected. I don't want Him to be hurt. I don't want Him to be mistreated. Oh, God, wash me and cleanse me. And I believe He'll do it. Number three, there's the blessings of the Holy Spirit. How many of you want God to bless your life? Say amen. There's the blessings. Everything that Jesus did down here, He did in the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter number 4, verses 18 and 19. This is what Jesus said. And He quoted Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Everything that Jesus did while He was down here in a human body, He did in the power of the Spirit of God. Did y'all hear me on that? Do I need to repeat that? Everything that Jesus did, He did in the Spirit. My friend, we cannot do the work of God in the flesh. Oh, listen, I know there's people that try. There's preachers that try. There's singers that try. My friend, if you're going to sing, you got to sing in the Spirit. Say amen. If you're going to play an instrument, you got to play it in the Spirit of God. You know why, Brother Steve? It'll not never touch anybody's heart. It'll never accomplish anything unless we're in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and fellowshipping in the Spirit. It'll never touch the heart. It'll touch the head. It might touch the foot, but it'll never touch the heart. I've had people before say, man, your sermon, you stepped on my toes. And every time I hear that, I'll tell them, I said, if I stepped on your toes, I missed. Because I wasn't aiming for the toes. I was aiming for the heart. Unless I get along with God, unless I beg God, I'll not have the filling of the Spirit of God. I'll not be able to preach in the Spirit of God. I've sat and listened to preachers before, and as some of them, they could say very little, but God's anointing Spirit was upon them. If you've ever read any of church history, Jonathan Edwards was a man that preached a sermon upstate New York, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Jonathan Edwards was not an eloquent man. In fact, he was not very handsome look at, they say. And Jonathan Edwards stood in the pulpit that Sunday morning, and he did not preach like I preach. He did not holler like I hollered. But in fact, he read his sermon off. And as he read his sermon off, there were people in that auditorium, there were people in that church, they said they could feel the fires of hell, and they clung to the back of the pew, and some of them said, I felt like I was sliding into eternity, and great revival broke out because why? He was filled with the Spirit of God. If there's anything we need today, my friend, in 2014 is the filling of the Spirit of God. We need the blessings of God. We cannot sing without the Spirit. We cannot preach without the Spirit. You can't testify. If you try to testify and you're not testifying in the Spirit of God, all it is a bunch of words falling on a bunch of ears, and they'll never do anything. But thank God when the brooding of the Spirit begins, the blessing of the Spirit, something begins to happen down in your soul. Amen. They're singers. If they sing, they're going to have to sing in the Spirit. Ephesians says this, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Fourth of all, there's the breath of the Holy Spirit. While you're in the book of John, turn over to chapter 20 real quickly. John chapter 20. Disciples are gathered in the upper room. This is post-resurrection. In John chapter number 20 and verse number 19, the Bible says, then the same day of the week, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Verse 22 says, and when he had thus said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Disciples were gathered up in their upper room. They were fearful. They were afraid. I believe they had gathered up there. They didn't know what was going to happen to them. They'd done nailed Jesus to the cross. Jesus had died. They didn't understand about the resurrection. They didn't understand that he was going to live again. And they had assembled up in the upper room. They were fearful. Didn't know what to expect. Didn't know what to believe. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears out of nowhere, walks through the walls in his glorified body. And he says unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost of God. He breathed on them, and peace settled all over that place. You're going to go through some stuff while you're down here. You're going to have to say goodbye to a loved one. You're going to have to go through some trials. I wish I could tell you this thing of Christian life is a bed of roses, but my friend, it's not a bed of roses. You're going to encounter some things that you thought you'd never have to encounter. You're going to have to face some things you thought you'd never have to face. And without the Spirit of God breathing peace upon you, you'll go a lunatic. You'll go crazy. But thank God, even in the midst of trials, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of death, in the midst of disease, the Spirit of God can speak peace be unto your soul. And you say, preacher, I don't understand it, but I've got the greatest peace in all the world right now. When the Spirit of God moves. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you experienced that. I've seen folks before. Sometimes they go all to pieces. They go all to pieces when trials come their way. I've seen other folk before just have a calm, settled peace about them. Their world could be falling apart. Their world could be shattering. They've got the peace of God that passes all understanding. When the Spirit of God breathes on them, these disciples were not afraid. Quickly now this morning, notice number 5. There's a battle of the Holy Spirit. There's a battle going on in your heart and my heart. I would venture to say right now, let me go on record. I say I love football. I really do. I never was an athlete. Well, I take that back. I guess I was, Brother Terry. I had athlete's foot one time, so I guess I was an athlete. But other than that, I never played any sports. But I like football. I can't read your mind this morning, but I'd venture to say some of you right now are thinking about, you know, that 2 o'clock pregame show comes on, and then that 6 o'clock, and then at 6:30 you're going to have a kickoff this evening with that Super Bowl. Beloved, can I tell you something? There's a battle raging right now in your heart, in my heart, in the minds of God's people. You know why? Because the Bible says the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm not asking you to raise your hand this morning, but how many of you, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but how many of you read your Bible before you come to church this morning? Don't raise your hand. You should have. How many of you prayed before you come to church this morning? You should have. You might say, "Preacher boy, I got up. I had all intentions, but I had to get ready, and this was going on. I didn't have time to do that, and I didn't have time to." There's a battle raging. There's a battle raging, and that battle is going to rage from this day to the day that you breathe your last breath. And that battle is between the Holy Ghost of God and the demonic forces of hell. And they want to control you, my friend. They want to control your thinking. They want to control your life. They want to control everything there is about you. Either we yield to the Spirit of God, or we yield to the evil spirit that takes over. Lust, greed, envy, pride of life, jealousy, hatred, variance, you name it. But the Holy Ghost of God, there's a battle raging. You'll always have that battle. In Galatians chapter 5, 25, he says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Paul said, "I die daily. I crucify my flesh. I put it to death. I don't let the flesh do what it wants to do. There is some discipline in my life," Paul said. If you live for the things of this world, then the old flesh is going to do exactly what it wants to do. If you live for the things of this world, old flesh didn't want to get up this morning, did it? If you live for the flesh, the old flesh don't want to come to church. But thank God there's a Spirit of God that moves upon us. And the Holy Ghost of God says, "Son, you'd feel a whole lot better even if you got aches and pains if you go on to church. You'd be in the presence of some other folks that could encourage you, and you'd hear a message by an old preacher. You'd feel a whole lot better if you get up out of bed and go on." Amen. There's the breath and the battle. Sixth of all, there's the blessed filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says this, quickly, and I'm almost done. "Not to be drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God." I wonder, have you ever asked the Lord, have you asked the Holy Spirit to fill you? You say, "Preacher, you just told me in the beginning of the message that we had the Holy Spirit the day we got saved." Yes, sir. He came in, but the question is, does he have all of you? Somebody said this, the filling of the Spirit is a continual process because we are leaky vessels. You might be sitting here this morning and you might need to cry out to God as David did. David said, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil. God, do it again. That anointing I had way back yonder isn't sufficient enough. I need the presence of God in my life. I need the power of God in my life. I need the Holy Ghost of God in my life." And David said, "I'll be anointed again with fresh oil." Fresh oil. That's our need for today. We need to be anointed with fresh oil. Has there ever come a time in your life? I mentioned a book the other day, Deeper Experiences of Famous Christians by G. Gilchrist Lawson. How that these men of God got alone and begged God, "Lord, fill me. Use me. Lord, let me empty myself. Let me empty myself of pride, of selfish ambitions. Let me empty myself of foolish talking and everything else that would hinder the filling of the Spirit of God. Lord, I want to be filled." And God used these men. God used great men, not because they were intelligent or good looking. He used them because they had a willing heart and said, "Oh God, fill me, use me." Number 7, there is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit, and I'm done. Matthew 12:31 says, listen to me and I'm done. Matthew 12:31 says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." I believe, beloved, that there is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost of God begins to deal with a person's heart, He convicts of sin. He says to you today, come and be saved. Come and get those things right with God. But do you say, no, I'll not listen. No, I'll not listen. I'll not do it. One of the most famous sermons I have ever heard preach, Dr. J. Harold Smith preached many years ago. Dr. Smith is with the Lord today. I heard Dr. Smith preach this sermon in person. He preached it all over America. But I was at Tennessee Temple University on a Sunday night when Dr. J. Harold Smith came and preached God's Three Deadlines. And he preached about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit of God. I'll share this with you and I'm finished this morning. He said he was in Alabama holding a revival meeting. And in that church that night, there sat a couple with a 14-year-old daughter. Her name was Katie. That night he gave the invitation call. He felt impressed to step out of the pulpit and go back to the couple. He spoke to mom and dad, asked them, were they a Christian? They said, yes, preacher, we are. He asked the 14-year-old daughter, are you saved? She said, no, I'm not saved. He said, why don't you come tonight and trust Christ, you save you? She said, no, I'll not do it tonight. He said, young lady, you don't realize that when God is dealing with your heart, you need to be saved. You need to trust the Lord when God's dealing with your heart. She said, not tonight, preacher. Not tonight. He went back to the pulpit and closed out the service. He said, the man and the wife got in their car and was headed home. The man needed some gasoline. He stopped at a service station on the way home and filled his car up with high-octane gasoline. Sitting in the car with his wife and his 14-year-old daughter. He said, just as they got finished filling the car up with gas and started to pull off from the service station, the car topped the hill that was full of men that had been drinking, running some 80 miles an hour down the highway out of control. They slammed into the car of this man, this woman, and Katie. The car flipped over on its side, rolled over. The men that were drinking didn't bother them. They got out of the car. And as they were trying to rescue everybody, people began to stop. The man got out of the car. The wife got out of the car, but Katie was trapped in the back seat. Her legs were wedged in the seat. About that time, that fuel that they had been pumped the gas full, tank full, began to spill out on the ground. The men, several, stopped, tried to get Katie out of the back seat of the car. Her feet were lodged within there. And they tried their best. They could not dislodge her. About that time, the gas began to run down through the highway. One of the men that had been drinking, he got out of the car, pulled a cigarette out of his pocket, lit the cigarette, and threw the match down to the ground. Dr. Smith said that one of the men that was trying to rescue Katie all of a sudden heard the noise of the flames, looked over his shoulder, and as the flames began to rush toward that car, they worked frantically trying to free her, and then just at the last minute the two men had to jump out of the way, and little Katie was still stuck in the car. Katie was crying, Mama, Daddy, get me out of here, Mama, Daddy. By the time the flames rushed inside of the car, they tried their best. They had to restrain the mom and dad to keep them from running, and mom went up to the car and she said, Katie, can you hear me? Yeah, Mom, I can hear you. Katie, we can't save you, but cry out to the Lord. Trust Jesus. Mom, I can't. And the young 14-year-old girl perished in that automobile. I believe this, my friend, there is a place we know not where, a time we know not when, that marks the destiny of men from here to despair. When the Holy Ghost of God knocks upon a person's heart, when God begins to reveal our sin and God begins to point it out, oh, would to God that we fall on our face and we cry out to the Lord God, oh, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, and if need be, save me. When the Holy Ghost of God, don't mistreat Him.